Good afternoon, everyone. As usual, we will start this conference with a 15 to a 20-minute long presentation by our CEO, Hans Stråberg, and our CFO, Jonas Samuelson. The slides are available on our homepage, electrolux.com. After the presentation, we will start a Q&A session. We will conclude the conference call around 4:00 P.M. Central European Time. Again, my proposal is to use the Q&A session as efficient as possible and let everybody have the chance to put forward questions. Therefore, I would like each of you to ask only one question at a time. So, with these instructions, I would like to hand over the word to Hans. Please, Hans.
Thank you, and welcome to this discussion of the 2009 second quarter results. With me here today, I have our CFO, Jonas Samuelson, and our Head of IR, Peter Nyquist. In the second quarter, Electrolux showed its strength by performing very solid results within all areas in a very tough market. Our previous cost reduction programs have continued to generate savings. We have maintained a strong price discipline across the group, while the costs for raw materials have come down slightly. We can also present a record high cash flow, which further strengthens our solid financial position. And let's now start with the highlights of the second quarter. While our main markets continue to show a strong decline, our second quarter operating income increased by 30%. We have for a long time been moving production to low-cost countries, reducing our personnel, increasing our cost efficiency in production, reducing our purchasing costs, and found new ways of reducing product costs. We're now seeing the results of these efforts. Lower costs for raw materials are also an important driver to the strong results. In a continued very difficult market situation, we have succeeded in defending our previous price increases in the second quarter. In spite of declining raw materials and raw material prices, that should be, and implemented price increases, we have a long way to go before we have compensated for the approximately 9 billion crowns that came from increasing material costs between 2004 and 2009. After a successful launch of the Electrolux premium products in North America, we relaunched our Frigidaire brand in the second quarter of 2009. And the new Frigidaire products and the launch of Electrolux premium products have strengthened our market position in North America. In Latin America, our volumes increased, strongly impacted by the tax reduction on domestically produced products in Brazil. Our other sectors, Asia Pacific, professional products and floor care products, showed a solid performance despite the weak market development. And finally, our strong cash flow performance continues, which our CFO Jonas Samuelson will describe now in more detail. Please, Jonas.
Thank you, Hans. As Hans said, and as you can see in the slide, we had record cash flow in the second quarter. This is a result of our continuous efforts to run our operations with a strong focus on working capital and accordingly cash flow. The strong cash flow in the second quarter was mainly generated by improvement in working capital, but also by improved earnings and lower investments. In the second quarter, we've continued to adapt production to lower demand to adjust our inventories, and we've postponed the buildup of inventories for the normally stronger second half of the year. We've been able to achieve this with continued high delivery accuracy and also despite that retailers' inventories are also at record low levels. The challenge for us right now is to find the right balance between the accelerator and the brake going forward. After the summer, we will need to build up inventories from the very low levels we have today to handle the increased demand which normally occurs during the second half of the year. Continuing on our working capital management, we've succeeded to manage receivables very tightly in the second quarter, and our accounts payable have been positively affected by favorable payment terms on our air conditioner business in North America and Latin America. In total, this effect amounted to 1.3 billion crowns compared to 950 million crowns in the prior year period. For 2009, our target is to reduce capital expenditures by 30%, as we've said before. This is mainly by lower investments in our factories, while product investment is largely maintained. This is also reflected in the second quarter, where cash flow from investments is 300 million crowns better compared to the last year's second quarter. Our solid cash flow further strengthens our balance sheet. Our liquid funds by the end of June are close to 13 billion crowns, and during the remainder of 2009 and 2010, we only have about 1.5 billion crowns in debt maturities. Our key balance sheet ratios have improved significantly, with net interest-bearing debt of 2.2 billion crowns at the end of June, compared to 5.2 billion crowns a year ago. Consequently, our strong cash flow and solid balance sheet gives us a platform that we need to meet the weak demand that we're seeing in our main markets. Please, Hans.
Thank you, Jonas. Now I will describe our European result in more details. The sharp market decline in Europe continued in the second quarter. The negative market development had, of course, a negative impact on our results. But despite the difficult market environment, we were able to improve our operating income for core appliances in Europe. Our cost reduction programs that we launched in 2008 are generating savings. Thanks to hard work by our employees, we have been able to lower our costs. We continue to execute on the program according to plan. The price discipline in the European market has been better than for many years. At the beginning of 2009, we started to raise prices country by country, and we have maintained the price levels in the second quarter. Lower costs for raw materials and components also had a positive impact, partly offset by currency headwinds as the euro has strengthened versus other currencies in Europe. We continue to gain market share within the important built-in segment, which combined with a positive country mix contributed to a positive mix effect in Europe. For our floor care products, we could see a continued market decline, which had a negative impact on our results. Now let's return to more details about the market development. Industry shipments of core appliances in Europe declined by 14% during the second quarter of 2009 in comparison with the same period of last year. While Western Europe declined by 9%, the Eastern European market declined by 30%. Demand in several key markets such as the Nordic region, Spain, Italy, and Great Britain continued to decrease. The German market is still showing a positive growth, but at a lower rate. As you can see on this slide, we have experienced six consecutive quarters of falling demand, and we don't see any improvement of market demand in Europe going forward. To talk about one of our successful products, the Ultra One vacuum cleaner. This product, the Ultra One, has been announced as the best vacuum cleaner by test institutes in Sweden, Norway, Denmark, and the Czech Republic so far, I might add. The Ultra One has been recognized for outstanding dust pickup and for superior handling. And in addition, it's one of the most silent vacuum cleaners in the market. And this Electrolux Ultra One product is a success story. It was recently launched, but accordingly, it contributes to our sales and earnings mix. Coming to North America, the weak market continued in the second quarter. Despite the tough market environment, we were able to significantly improve last year's performance, and I'm happy to present a very strong second quarter. First of all, I would like to mention the great achievement by our team members and that they have done to reduce costs. A hard work that now contributes to the positive results. Secondly, we had a positive effect from last year's price increases. The price increases we achieved in 2008 are holding up. We will continue this hard work, I can assure you. Thirdly, we had a positive effect from raw materials, from lower raw material costs. It should be noted that Q2 2008 was negatively impacted by our Electrolux launch, amounting to approximately 230 million crowns. We have now exited the launch phase, which means that the marketing spend will come down to a more normal level. And our floor care business was negatively impacted by weak markets. Sales and operating income decreased as a result of a deterioration in our product mix. Industry shipments of appliances in the U.S. declined by 14% in the second quarter. After the dramatic decline at the end of last year and at the beginning of 2009, the demand is now stable at a lower rate. We've now experienced a falling demand for appliances for 3 years. The size of the appliance market is almost at the same level as it was in 1996. There are, however, signs of stabilization in the North American market. However, we don't expect a quick recovery at all. Now let's talk about our Frigidaire business in North America. After the successful launch of Electrolux premium product in North America, we relaunched the Frigidaire brand in the second quarter of 2009. Frigidaire is our largest brand in that region. The new products are designed through our product development process based on extensive consumer insight. The products offer greater freedom of choice as shorter operating times, greater capacity, increased user friendliness, and better performance. The new Frigidaire products and the launch of Electrolux premium products have strengthened our market position in North America. In North America, Electrolux appliances have won the top award Effie Prize for market effectiveness. The Effie Prize is an annual competition that recognizes the year's best advertisements and marketing campaigns, and it is held in over 34 countries around the world. In Chicago, we won the Green Good Design. The prize recognizes fully sustainable and compatible design with the highest standards of good environment. Several socially responsible investment indices include Electrolux as a constituent company, including Dow Jones Sustainability Index and the FTSE for Good series. Latin America. The demand in Latin America showed a strong growth in the second quarter, driven by the Brazilian market. The Brazilian government has reduced taxes on domestically produced appliances, which significantly impacted the demand. The tax benefit is expected to be in place until the end of October. The strong demand had a positive effect both on our volumes and our operating income, and we continue to gain market shares there. Our earnings in the second quarter benefited from an improved customer mix. Currency headwinds had a negative effect. Looking at our Asia-Pacific business. In Australia, we continue to gain market shares in a stable market. The negative currency impact of purchasing of US dollar-priced components and products were offset by cost reductions and previous price increases. Our operating income was in line with the corresponding period last year. The market in Southeast Asia continued to decline in the second quarter. At the same time, we were able to improve mix and price. Market statistics for shipments of appliances in China showed an increase of approximately 5% in the second quarter of 2009. The costs for exiting low-price segments and geographies had a negative impact on the second quarter results. But we are getting closer to a break-even level for our business in China. Market demand for our professional products showed a strong decline in the second quarter. The weak demand impacted our volumes and accordingly our capacity utilization. Despite the difficult market environment, we achieved an operating margin of 8.9%. The cost reduction program we launched in 2008 is now giving results. We don't see any recovery in Europe and North America in the near future. We expect the markets to decline further in the third quarter as well as for the full year of 2009. In Brazil, the tax incentives will continue in the third quarter and impact the demand positively. We expect to gain from raw materials in the third quarter as well as for the full year. Going forward, there is continued great uncertainty within a number of areas. Traditionally, we've had a strong period for Electrolux during the fall. That pattern has weakened over the last couple of years, and this is mainly because the very important and profitable cooking season has declined, and there is a risk that this trend will continue this year as well. The raw materials markets are very, very uncertain. We're beginning to see rising costs for some raw materials, such as copper and the plastics. And after the summer, we will need to build up our inventories from the very low levels we have today to handle the increased demand which occurs during the second half of the year. As you probably saw in the release distributed an hour ago, we are implementing a new organization for R&D, purchasing, and manufacturing within major appliances. This relates to our major appliances business only. The objective with this change is to take full advantage of the group's global reach and economies of scale. We're now taking the next step to fully realize synergies between business sectors in product development, manufacturing, and purchasing. After the great job our head of Major Appliances North America, Keith McLoughlin, has carried out in North America, I'm happy that Keith has agreed to take up this new task. And I'm also very pleased to present Kevin Scott as new head of Major Appliances in North America. Kevin has held various senior positions within Electrolux since 2003. With the organizational changes we are implementing, I see great opportunities to continue to lower costs, to continue to save capital, and to continue to sell more innovative, successful products. And with that, we are now open for questions.
Okay, thank you, Hans. So we are now ready for the question session. As I said in the beginning, we should use that session as efficient as possible and let everybody have the chance to put forward questions. So therefore, I would like each of you to ask only one question at a time. If you have more questions and not yet been answered, you can line up again. So operator, now we are ready for the first question.
The first question comes from Mr. Andreas Willi from J.P. Morgan. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Yeah, my question relates to the U.S. market and your comments that we may see some stabilization in the appliance shipments there. I was surprised when I saw the AHAM numbers for June yesterday, who showed a bigger decline than in previous months, and it looks like if one seasonally adjusts, that appliance shipments may have been down as much as 10% over May. Is this due to working days, some other funnies, or has the market really weakened again in June in the U.S.?
I think there are probably degrees in where in hell. I think a couple of percentage up or down is not what's going to change this from one month to another. What we see is that the market is continuing down. But we also see that we're meeting now comparable numbers, comparable quarters that were down substantially last year. So the view we have is that we see some signs of it starting to bottom out. We also have some leading indicators that are stabilizing, although they're jumping around a bit, but the mean average is stabilizing. But of course, there's uncertainty in this.
Just to add, Andreas, on your question, the figures you get officially are different from the figures we publish here in the report. So the June figures, according to the statistic you see in the report, is down 13% compared to what was published about 16%. So there is a difference there as well.
And the difference there is due to calendar month versus a numerical month. And we don't know why they're not showing both, but that is what the situation has been for a while.
Thank you.
Thank you, Andreas.
Next question.
The next question comes from Mr. Johan Eliasson from Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. Could you quantify a little bit on how much have you been able to get through from the different cost-cutting programs, the big program in December, the early program 2008 in Europe, and the kind of ongoing low-cost move? And if possible, finally, just a word on the IKEA launch as well.
Well, To give you some figures here on the overall cost reduction programs, restructuring people out, cost out from products, discretionary cost, and so on. In the second quarter, we had an increased savings of about 300 million crowns. That then adds up to the first half year's savings of about 500 million. And we see for the remainder of the year around 600 million.
Hopefully 500.
And your second question was IKEA. We have started deliveries, and it's too early to say anything from that because we're just ramping up for the fall season. So we'll have to come back to that, I think, end of year.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Johan.
Next question.
The next question comes from Mr. Hans Höjer from Proactive Independent Ideas. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. I was just very interested in the evidence of improving pricing discipline in the home appliances market, and especially when you combine it with your language about 9 billion suffering over the past 3 or 4 years. I mean, what's actually happening out there? Are you actually seeing some of the operators that used to be very active on price cuts changing their spots on this, and what might be the reason? And how much do you actually, I mean, I'm sure you don't expect to recover the 9 billion, but you might have a target for how much you think you could recover over the next couple of years.
I would like to, Frans here, I would like to say that this is not a walk in the park, that everything has changed and it's great times are here. There's a strong price competition that is continuing, but seems to be somewhat more discipline, and we are holding on to our prices. We see, I think the answer to why, which has surprised many people, I think, from the questions we had last time, how when volumes are down, that prices can stay up. I think the answer is to be found in some of our competitors' balance sheets and from the market development. There is no way to go. You can't grow, and you can't slash prices because you don't get the volumes. But it is fragile, but we are holding on to it. And I'm very proud to say that Electrolux sales forces and team members and the leaders here are very disciplined when it comes to this.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Frans.
The next question comes from Mr. Mikael Andersson from Evli Bank. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Hi, guys. A question on the market demand in Europe. You're mentioning some big countries like Italy, Great Britain, and France, and also the Nordics as a combined market here. Is it a big difference between these countries in the decline, in the demand decline there? And do you expect that to continue to look that way going forward, or do you see any major changes in some of these markets? And in combination with that, is it fair to assume that if you exclude the private label deliveries in Germany that you missed out on this quarter here, that your organic sales decline of 15.2% in the second quarter would be more in line or even better than the market decline of 14%? Thank you.
I think we have lost some share in the UK, and we've done so deliberately because we don't make any money at all on those. With the currency decline and from where we ship, we've also said no thank you to some volumes in the eastern part of Europe because so we're a bit worried about the selective accounts there. If you exclude that and what you refer to as the German private label, we've actually taken market share. And if you exclude the
the private label you referred to, we've actually we're actually slightly positive in Europe. And if you look at the German market and exclude the private label, we've actually taken market share. Then if you look at the market demand in different parts of Europe, Eastern Europe is really down, continues to be down about 30%. Then it's a varying mix, with Germany being up some 2-3% for the first half year. And while you have Italy, Spain, France, and so on, down between 8-20% with Spain there. In the Nordic countries, it's down between 7-12%. So it's a varying picture in Europe, really.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Mr. Johan Trukmeer from Nordea Markets. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon. Could you perhaps comment on the bankruptcy of Arcandor, an important customer of the group? Could you just tell us something about the cost impact you expect for Electrolux from this, what the timing of that might be, and how you currently judge any other major customer exposures you have out there where retailers may be strained and running risks of experiencing similar difficulties?
Yes, we'll do that. Jonas, if you would like to answer that question.
Right. Arcandor, as you may know, have now received some loan guarantees. So we've actually just recently started shipping again to them. Obviously, there's a risk that that volumes will be running lower than they have historically, but we're very happy to see that we can start shipping to them. In terms of cost, obviously, the lower volumes has a negative impact on us. But in terms of the credit exposure, we have very limited cost related to the bankruptcy. When it comes to other customers, as Hans indicated, we do have customers in Eastern Europe in particular that are questionable when it comes to credit quality. But other than that, we're not seeing any major exposures.
Right. And if I can just add, Jonas, when you say very limited cost, I mean, would it be a fair assumption that it'll be something like less than 50 million Swedish krona net exposure that you expect from Arcandor?
In terms of credit losses, yes.
And timing of that, will that be before the end of the year that you might see that actually materialize, or would it be later?
We've actually made some accruals in the second quarter, but not of very significant amounts.
Okay, thanks.
And I think Arcandor, the wheels came off there, but they're putting them on here and are getting ready to go again. Okay, thank you, Johan.
Next question, please.
We have a question from Mr. Patrick Lindquist from HQ Bank. Please go ahead.
Okay. Hi, guys. A question on continuing on the pricing side. Most of the price increases, you're basically saying that you're holding on to previous increases in the U.S. and in Europe as well. Is it so that you're... So what are your plans going forward in that respect? Because you haven't done anything in Q2 now. You normally do something mid-year. Is that sort of the plan? And also, I know that inventories also on the retail side are pretty low. Do you see any risk of sort of destabilization of pricing once we get back to sort of a more normal inventory level with less tightness in the supply chain?
I think when it comes to pricing, we have raised some prices in the second quarter, but it's also very important for this to have an effect in the marketplace. And we have been able to hold on to the market prices in North America. You know, we increased with the average now. This is not the individual categories or customers and so on, but average 4% in the latter part of 2008 in North America and about 2% in the beginning of Q1. And We are making moves, and in the middle of the summer here is not always the best time to do it. So we are continuing to probe, and we are trying to keep it up here. With inventories, I think we We've been able to, over the last couple of years, to work with less working capital, and inventories are a big part of that. And as a relation to sales, we have taken it down and are probing lower and lower levels to work with. But now we have a, you know, the second part of, we have a seasonal effect here. In the second part of the year, we have stronger sales. And there, of course, even if we keep the ratios, we will increase in absolute money our inventories. And by the way, also accounts receivables will be increased when we sell more, and that's a good thing.
Maybe I misunderstood my sort of the inventory-related questions more on your distributors, where you have pretty low inventories in Europe, right? I think 25 days, I understand. And the question is, once these inventories are being restocked, do you see an increased risk for a return to the historic pricing behavior in the market? I'm sort of still on the pricing side of things.
I don't think we can see that relation. We don't see that correlation between in stock and pricing behavior, quite frankly. I think it more has to do with the overall market volumes and what you can gain by reducing prices to increase your volumes. And at this time, it's almost non-existing. But it's not that will drive it that you're referring to, we believe.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Patrick. Next question, please.
The next question comes from Mr. Colin Gibbs from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, just one quick question, please, on the incentives in Brazil. Clearly, these are benefiting your sales and profits in South America at the moment, and from the look of it, will continue to do so in Q3. Is there a risk, however, that they're just pulling forward demand from future periods, and that you see something of a setback in, you know, Q4 and Q1 next year, so on and so forth?
It could very well be, and I have not. I don't think any one of us have experienced this, but there are some differences in comparison with automotive, we believe. And with automotive, there is a second-hand market, very often what you've seen is that it becomes an increase in demand while you have these incentives, and then it falls back quite substantially. In appliances, there is no second-hand market, and it seems to be quite a lot of new built, but we'll have to see that there.
Thank you.
Thank you, Colin. Next question, please.
The next question comes from Mr. Stefan Cederberg from SEB Enskilda. Please go ahead.
Thank you. I have a question on your balance sheet. Looking at your liquid asset, you have 13 billion. And should we read this as you're preparing to make acquisition, or will you pay down debt?
You should see this as we have a very strong liquid asset position, and we are not through this overall market situation yet. And we feel quite comfortable at this time to have this strong balance sheet. And going forward, we will then, of course, take the right steps, as we always have done with our gearing.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Stefan. Next question.
The next question comes from Mr. Kenneth Toll Johansson from Erik Penser Bank. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, hello. I have a question on the big restructuring program you launched a couple of years ago. You were targeting some costs of 8 billion, and you still have some costs to go, and it's supposed to be finalized soon. Do you have plans to launch more restructuring and move of plants now in the second half of this year?
Well, the frame of 8 billion is still valid, and we have up to, I think, from memory, about 2 billion to go. And some of that, of the cost, will fall into next year. But we intend to use that, but we do not see the need for and do not intend to launch any new program.
Okay, but it spills over. over to next year then?
I'm sorry?
Yeah, but it spills over to next year maybe.
Yeah, it will spill into next year because of everything that's going on. But that framework, we do not intend to launch any new program as such.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Kenneth, next question.
The next question comes from Mr. Stefan Lycke from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi guys, Stefan Lycke, Deutsche. You have historically been very successful in achieving procurement savings. Sort of, could you help me understand whether or not you have reached the end of that road now, or if you, we should expect further sort of improvements when you sort of start to also increase your low-cost country sourcing in the next phase?
Well, I usually say that as long as there is cost, there are savings to obtain. And I think it's still valid, that comment. We have more to do, and that is one of the things you can see what we announced today with this new organization that we're setting up. Over the last several years, we have put each major appliance division into order and consumer focus them, and we're well on our way. We see that our European business that has been lagging is now taking rudder and is moving forward at a good speed, and therefore we have seen that it's time to take the next step, which is to make sure that we utilize the shared global strength we have within Electrolux. This will not come very, very quickly, because we're talking about also redesigning products over the next several years. So it will be a step-by-step change. But already today, we're able to, as we are organized in purchasing in this way, we're able to bundle and bundle purchasing and use our global strength, which is also something that is behind our strong numbers in the second quarter. And we will continue to do so. So there's more to come, yes.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Stefan. Next question.
The next question comes from Mr. Rasmus Engberg from Handelsbanken. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hi. Can I ask you just to repeat what you said? I didn't quite understand what you said about further savings. You talked about 500 million for the first half of the year, and then is that 600 million more to come, so to speak? Or
it's well, let's Jonas. Maybe right. You should have a try at this.
No, that's exactly right. There's an additional 600 million that will kick in the second half.
Okay, thank you. Can I also ask you, excuse me, with regards to the raw material cost impact in the second quarter, how big that was on the net level, and if you think that's going to be bigger or smaller in the third quarter? Obviously, I think the dollar relative to most other currencies are less strong in Q3 relative to Q2.
Well, it's a number of currencies that influences that, and we, excluding currency, we had in the second quarter about 400 million in savings from raw materials. But including currency that went against us, the net effect was 150 million. So that gives you an order of magnitude of how the currencies are affecting us, impacting us.
And going forward?
Going forward, if you give me what the currency rates are going to be, then I'll tell you the right numbers. Joking aside, if this remains, I think we will have similar ratios. Because it's not just a dollar, it's more complicated than that.
Oh, okay.
But it gives you an idea, and we would be very happy if all of it came through.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Rasmus. Next question, please.
We have a question from Mr. Jay Hingarani from Standard & Poor's in London. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call. Most of my questions have been answered. Just wanted to see if you could give a little bit more color on the country products mix and materials. Would you say more of the effect came from the prices, price increases that you had in the past, the product mix, so on, for example, in Europe, and, kind of what proportion impacted operating income? Was there more of an impact from the mix or from materials?
Okay. Yeah. That's Jonas, if you please answer that
I know
question.
You just went through the numbers, but...
It sounds like a difficult question, so I'll pass it over to Jonas.
No, I think it's relatively straightforward. It's actually reasonably equal parts, price, mix, and product cost in general, let's say, not just raw material. So we've had favorable effects from all three, which is obviously a big factor for the favorable result that we had in the quarter, offsetting then the very negative volumes.
Okay, but so this is, you're starting to see the effects of the materials, lower materials cost now. Safe to say that, by the end of the year, maybe through Q1 of next year, if the materials, if the deflationary trend holds.
Right. I mean, obviously, it's not just raw materials. It's our entire effort to take out cost out of our products through factory efficiencies, through logistic efficiency, through all those things. And we continue to see upside on those on all those sides.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question, please.
Next question comes from Mr. Carl Holmquist from Danske Bank. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much. I have a question on capital expenditures. How long do you think you can maintain the level of around 2 billion annually? Can you run 110, let's say 110 billion top line on 2 billion of capital expenditures annually?
No, we can't, and we will not. From the levels we have had, have taken it down with around 30% because we have built 8 new factories, and therefore we have used more capex than we should in the long run. But I'd say around 2.5 in that order of magnitude, with that going into product, because we're not going to extend more capacity than we have. So the main reason for why we've been able to take it down is that we've had heavy investments into new facilities, not the least in Mexico. And now we can make a temporary, we get some temporary relief, but then we will prop it up again. And we're not slowing down on product development either. We're continuing to launch. We're becoming more efficient, but we're going to stay around 2% for that as well.
Great, thanks.
Thank you. Next question, please.
We have another question from Mr. Hans Heyer from Proactive Independent Ideas. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I was just wondering about the reduction in inventories during the quarter. I think I'm right in saying that has a bearing on the fixed cost absorption when you run down your inventories as opposed to building them up like you did in Q2 last year. Do you have an idea or a ballpark figure for the amount of fixed cost absorption you have lost? How many basis points of gross margin erosion has that implied?
Jonas.
I can't give you an exact number, but obviously last year in the same time period we built about 1 billion krona worth of inventory, and obviously there's a fixed cost absorption part of that, as you said. I can't give you the exact number of the gross margin impact of that, but it's not very significant, but there's something there.
All right, thank you.
It's important to note here the way we run our business. We had to make some extended shutdowns over Christmas because of the very heavy downturn in the fourth quarter for us, 50% during some weeks. Now we are in more balance in the demand flow since then and before then, and we're making adjustments all the time. We're not overproducing, and we have our... hand on the lever constantly here, and we don't see with the present then rate of market decline that we need to make extended closures or anything. We're doing this day by day, week by week, and month by month.
Okay, Thank you.
Thank you, Franz. Next question, please.
Next question comes from Mr. Ben Maslen from Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, it's Ben Madison from Merrill Lynch. Just a question on the Electrolux branded products in North America. Can you say what the contribution to EBIT was in the quarter from that segment relative to the minus 230 a year ago and what you expect in the second half? Thank you.
Well, for the second quarter, it was almost break even. And we... continued to take some market share in that premium segment during that quarter.
And you would expect it to be in profit in the second half of the year?
We expect to make profit, yes.
Okay, thanks. And then maybe a follow-up just to clarify your working capital comments. Released about 3 billion SEK during the first half of the year. Do you think you can release more during the second half, or would you expect to see a net working capital outflow in the second half as you build a bit of inventory and you pay down the payables?
Well, you need to look at the second and third quarter in combination, I think. But Jonas, you can give more detailed answer.
I would say just looking at the seasonality, we typically see a build-up of working capital in the third quarter, and then we typically see a reduction again in the fourth. And given how unstable the demand development has been recently, it's hard to make exact predictions. But I think that's more or less what you can expect to see. And then obviously we're managing inventories and everything on an extremely tight day-to-day basis here.
That's great. Thank you.
Thank you, Ben. Next question, please.
We have another question from Andreas Wille from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Yeah, second question I had is, you made an earlier comment about the positive mix in Europe as basically some markets decline and Germany is still doing quite well. How skewed is your profit you achieve currently to Germany? Is it like a large part or most of your net earnings are coming out of Germany at the moment? Or how extreme is that skew towards profitability in Germany?
No, overall, it's not where we want it to be in Germany. So it is not in any way determining our profitability in Europe.
Just to give you some indication, I think you have of sales, Germany is about 14% of Europe and about 7% of the total group.
For us.
Mm.
So that it doesn't, I think you're alluding to if Germany starts to decline, if that's going to have a big impact. Well, of course, it's would be better if it stayed up, but it's not going to determine the profitability in Europe.
I just ask because you said earlier that because of the geographic mix you had a benefit to the margin, so I assume should other markets go up and Germany go down, you would have the opposite.
No, that's not the case.
Why not?
Well, I think, Jonas, will you?
Right. Well, I guess from a country mix perspective, the fact that Eastern Europe has dropped so heavily is sort of a net positive on a country mix perspective. That doesn't mean that Eastern Europe is unprofitable for us. It's not. But that's the main effect that you see there.
Okay, so it's more Eastern Europe than Germany that right. swing on terms of the mix.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question, please.
The next question comes from Mr. Mikael Andersson from Evli Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi again. A question regarding the U.S. market. You clearly outperform market again, and I just wonder if the performance was equally good with your deliveries to Sears and what you sell outside Sears. So if these numbers were equally the same, and also how you feel about Sears' position, and the same question here going forward here, if deliveries to Sears and outside Sears would go hand in hand, so to speak, in terms of numbers.
There is not anything of significance that has taken place there, and I don't want to comment on single accounts, but it's very even in the U.S. It's not one or the other.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
Thank you, Mikael. Next question, please.
The next question comes from Mr. Olaf Cederholm from UBS. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, just a couple of questions. First, you've done a lot on the on product mix. We talked a lot about prices here, but the product mix has really improved over the last couple of years. And where is the mix now versus where you want it to be? Is there still more to do on mix? Should we expect you to target to improve the mix into 2010? What's your view there? The second thing is component prices. Have you started to see component prices being affected by lower steel prices, for example? Since that would be a nice benefit as well going forward.
Excuse me. On component prices, to start with that, it's difficult to distinguish between our cost reduction efforts and pure raw material, because it's only part of the cost of components. But the combination of us taking cost out of our products, which we talked about last year, and that it was in swing, and now it's in full swing. So yes, we are seeing through our combined global purchase that we are able to get component costs down. And it's as it is with raw materials, same thing with components. It's not purely that we're moving with the market. We are very good at this time to negotiate with combined volumes and then moving between suppliers. When it comes to product mix, those here, that mix improvement that you see is part of our overall strategy. It's really the core of our strategy to continue to move mix up, and that's what we're working to improve, to get the earnings quality improved. So the answer is yes.
Many thanks.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you, Olof. Next question, please.
The next question comes from Mr. Johan Trocmer from Nordea Markets. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi again. A follow-up on costs. Could you just remind us on the magnitude of staff cuts that you've carried out so far? I think the peak for global staff was around 57,000, and you're now at about 49,500. Is the decline there? What has happened to date? Is there any more to come? If you can just give us an update.
Let me just make an introduction to that question. We announced in the fourth quarter that we were going to make further cuts. We made cuts also before that. And a big part of that, not the majority, but a big part of that was white collar in Europe, which we took out, announced in the beginning of 2008 and at the end of 2008. And there we have, through our Europeanization, if there is such a word, to run Europe as a region, we have simplified Europe and have been able to reduce the workload. And then, of course, on top of that, we have that we need fewer people because of demand is down. And as you can see from our performance in the past, and we are very good at adjusting our costs to the demand, wherever that is. And unfortunately, there is some lag between the markets coming down and when we can take people out. And in general, it's slower in Europe than it is in the US, as one example. And we have, from the beginning of 2008 to date, we've taken more than 10% of the people out, and we have some more to go.
Could you give us any idea, Hans, of how much more there might be to go? Are we talking a couple of more percentage points, perhaps, or might
maybe
we need more?
If you can, maybe you have some more.
We still have to go in this program called that we launched in December here. We have still to go in Europe. I think basically that's where we have the most of the people actually.
It's approximately 500 more in that program in Europe to go. But then obviously the reason why we're hesitating a little bit is that we're obviously adjusting our workforce levels on a continuous basis. But there's about 500 left to go in that specific program that we announced in December of last year.
And other than that, market goes.
Right. Yes, definitely so.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you, Johan. Next question, please.
The next question comes from Mr. Stefan Cederberg from SEB Enskilda. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Next question is on when will we see the positive impact from today's announcement with Keith as a new COO in major appliances? And can you comment on future cost saving in R&D, purchasing and manufacturing, please?
Yes. And Keith is becoming the chief operations officer within major appliances. Our organization will be that we are having the chief operations officer who is responsible for product and operations, and alongside him there will be the sector heads, our divisional CEOs, and together they are have started to work out how we can combine our global reach and in a more efficient way put together modules, use technologies, components in our products. And that will come when we redesign products, when we develop new products, when we make changes and even redesign products with that purpose. But mainly it is going forward. And it will take time for it to come in full swing because it is quite a substantial maneuver. So it's not something that will come immediately. But the great thing is that we've now taken the a lot of opportunities which we've been able to do without putting this together. So we're now at the level play field between the different sectors to now combine the resources. But let's also be very clear about that this is not purely a cost reduction thing. This is to strengthen our divisions, our sectors, to win in the marketplace, to speed up our product development. And that is very much through not doing things more than once.
And can you comment, how do you see your future structure compared to your competitors? Will you be ahead of them in terms of efficiency gain as you for once act as a global company?
I think first and foremost it depends on where they are in a couple of years. We are going to drive the utmost. And let's remember that we are the most international and global company with strong positions in every part of the world. So therefore, I think we have a great opportunity to squeeze this out and take these advantages. As one example, our U.S. Front-loaded washing machines are designed in Italy today. And that has been very, very important to us in order to come into the marketplace with the very early and with the latest in global technology. So I think we have a lot of opportunities, and we are not doing this to come in second. We're going to come in first.
Thank you. As we have to conclude this conference four, we have now time for the last question. I think it's from Patrik Lindqvist from HQ Bank. Please, Patrik.
I made the bar. Just a question on, you talked a bit about the risk for sort of the lower seasonal effects because of the cooking season being less important. I mean, why are you saying that? Is there something that you're seeing that makes you really convinced of that? And is that then related to the decision that you just started to produce a bit later in the season? So because you really feel that this is not going to be a seasonal effect, thus you're starting production later.
I'm saying that because maybe I'm underestimating the market's memory. I'm saying it more as an information that this, in the past, we've had very strong cooking season except for 2008 and partly 2007. And in many people's memory, there is our very, very strong cooking season in the end of the year, and that has not materialized in the last 1.5 years, I would say. So therefore, it's more an information that I'm not trying to tell you any secret code here or any message, that just as an information.
Okay, thank you. Hans, please.
Yes, let me sum up this session then. Thanks for listening here. I would say thanks to our cost reduction programs, which involves lower material costs, price increases, product launches, we have succeeded in reaching a better second quarter result than last year. The market development continues to be weak and will unfortunately not improve in the near future. Even if our operating income for the second quarter is satisfactory in this tough environment, we are still far away from our 6% EBIT target. But achievements accomplished in the second quarter strengthen my belief that we will reach this target. And finally, I want to underline that I'm exceptionally satisfied to be able to present a strong cash flow in these very tough times. So thank you all, and I wish you all a great summer. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.